Oh, hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the Producer, Jimmy the Bubble Boy. And, you know, we got a lot to cover. A lot of stuff in the news. Some new equipment to talk about here in Hour 2 that popped up on my radar. And we're going to discuss new full-face snorkel, which is... creating quite a stir online, at least, developed out of France. So we'll get into that in just a bit. But before we do that, we got our buddy Jerry Beatty on from Dive Training Magazine. He is on Scuba Radio right now. Jerry, how are you, my friend? Jerry?
I'm good, Greg. How are you, man? How are things rocking there?
Well, we're having a good time, regardless of the news that we got this week about our friend Captain Don from Captain Don's Habitat. Mentioned he'd passed away. I know he was a good friend of yours personally as well as professionally, right?
No, absolutely. You know, you can say Captain Don was one of a kind, but in this case, there really has never been another Captain Don, and I don't think there ever will be.
Yes. Well, you know, the thing is, you know, I've been doing this show for 18 years now, or we're in our 18th year, and... I met Captain Don a couple times, and he was quite the character, quite a salty, you know, type of stereotypical pirate-looking kind of guy. I mean, he had the earrings and the skull and crossbones thing going on. You know, I mean, he just had this pirate vibe about him that that worked well for marketing for Captain Don's Habitat. But he was just a really nice guy, and he did a lot of things behind the scenes that I think a lot of people in the dive industry, even myself, aren't aware of, that I know that you could shed a light on and maybe educate a few folks, including myself today. Would you be okay sharing in that regard, Jerry? What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you mentioned the pilot part. You have never seen a man as happy to lose a leg as Captain Don Stewart. I was actually in Bonaire when Captain Don was in the hospital with gangrene in his leg, and the doctor came in and said, "Don, we're going to take it off." Mm. And he got a big old smile on his face, and he said, "Great, I want a wooden peg leg." That's the kind of character he was.
Yeah.
His whole life started out as an adventure story. When before he left San Francisco, he was doing bit parts in romantic adventure movies.
Really?
And he really pictured himself as the next Errol Flynn. And so he bought this three-masted schooner because he was going to get it into the movies, and he was going to be swinging from the yardarm with a sword in his hand.
Okay.
He
lived that part, because he did. He looked just like that stereotypical pirate kind of armady type of dude. I mean, when he was walking down the aisles of Dima, when I'd see him, that'd be the time when I'd see him the most time. I swear, I thought, oh my God, where's this character? Who is this character? And I want to get my picture taken with him. It's like walking around Disney World and meeting one of the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Was it meeting Jack Sparrow? Or was it like meeting Barbossa?
Yeah, the latter.
Yeah, okay.
That's much cooler.
Errol Flynn looked a lot more like Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe back in his earlier days he had that vibe going on. But, you know, Johnny Depp didn't really do the pirate thing justice. You know, before Johnny Depp kind of put his little spin on the pirate look, there was this Captain Don's pirate look that was more authentic. Are you with me on this, Jerry? Come on. Really?
Yeah, there's no question. You know, and the guy inspired so many myths. Like, one myth is that he came to Bon Air, he took one look around, and he knew he would never leave. And that's just not the way it happened.
No.
Actually, he was beat up by a hurricane. He needed some place to repair the boat. He came in. First thing he did was clear customs, and then he went out. He had 8 scuba tanks, and he went diving, and he did truly love it. But the intent was to fix the boat and go back. Well, the boat sank. And Captain Don just kind of never left.
All right, so you're telling me, and this is news to me, that Captain Don set up Captain Don's habitat in Bon Air because basically he got stranded there and had no choice.
Wow. Actually, he started the dive operation, the very first one ever in Bon Air, at the Flamingo Hotel. And the Flamingo Hotel, which a lot of people don't know, was actually a Nazi prisoner of war camp that somebody, one of the locals there, had gone, you know, I bet I can turn this into a hotel.
Hmm.
And that's how Don got started.
Okay, but wow. we got to do something about the fame. I'm thinking there had to be a little bit of
genius. Am curious as to whether or not it was Nazis being held as war criminals after the Second World War, if it was Nazis for whatever reason holding POWs in Bon Air.
I don't know.
It was actually, my understanding of it was actually a Nazi POW camp during the war, and right after the war they were all released and sent home.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm sure a lot of them was like, hey, you know, it's kind of nice here. Maybe we ought to stay.
Yeah, really.
You know, because Bon Air is a beautiful place. And obviously, that led to Captain Don's habitat. And he opened up his new place or franchised his own operation, I guess. Is that how it kind of went down a little bit there, Jerry? Or do you know? What do you think?
Yeah, that is how it went down. That is exactly how it got all put together. And it just kind of gained the life of its own when Captain Don started Captain Don's Habitat. There were approximately 3,000 tourists worldwide coming to that island a year.
Wow.
So now look at it. We've got about 55,000 to 60,000 just North American divers going to Bon Air every year, and it's all because of Captain Don.
Interesting. Now, you know, we're talking about a little bit of his history there in Bon Air, but you were telling me this week a story that I didn't know about was that he is actually responsible for saving the U.S. dive flag. Is that right? Explain.
That is correct. You know, the U.S. dive flag is not the international dive flag. In fact, North America and now more Mexico, South America use it, but the international maritime flag is blue and white. So at one point, as the American red and white flag became more and more popular, there was some international maritime pressure put on the Coast Guard to prohibit its use. And Don just went ballistic, and he put together the Allegiance to Save Our Flag. And one of the things that he did that went viral for the time was he got a flag, he put it on a stick, they went underwater without their gear, and they did the Iwo Jima flag racing. Got a great picture of it, and it just went all over the world.
And that had a lot to do with them deciding, well, okay, maybe this flag's okay for these folks. And then when I say U.S. dive flag, is that correct? And, I mean, he's in Bon Air. How does that play exactly? What was his connection to? Was he a U.S. citizen as well or no? No. I don't know.
Oh, Don always kept his U.S. citizenship.
Okay.
Absolutely. Believe it or not, he was from San Francisco, California.
Yeah, well, that would explain the pirate outfit. But that's a whole different show. We'll just leave that alone. But yeah, you know, go figure. You know, those are the kind of little tidbits that he did behind the scenes that I wasn't aware of. I just always known him as just an amazing, colorful character. I'd see at the dive shows, always super friendly, always willing to share his love and passion for diving and to, you know, bring people out to Bon Air or invite them out to Bon Air. So, you know, he will be missed. We're going to get into this a little bit more on what he contributed to the industry here next week on The Big Show, because it's literally this news. Just, I mean, I don't know. This happened just a few days ago or what? Do you know what was it? When did he pass? Do we know Jerry, or do you know?
He passed away. Yeah, he passed away sort of in the middle of the day before yesterday.
Okay. All right. So this just happened. You know, it's circulating through the dive industry, and he had his a lot of friends in the industry. As you know, I kind of consider myself an acquaintance. I met him a few times. We actually had him on the show a couple times, too. So, but always a colorful character and had a huge ripple effect on a lot of people. So we'll get into that a little bit more detail next week. But, Jerry, I appreciate you coming on today and sharing, you know, a couple little tidbits about him. And we'll talk more, or we'll catch up in Long Beach next week, right?
I'll see you there.
All right, sounds like a plan. Jerry Beatty, Dive Training Magazine. We got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Deepwater K in the Bahamas has been a bone fishing paradise for over 50 years. However, what has been bringing world-class anglers and Hollywood stars to this private island paradise is also quite impressive underwater. So after a multi-million dollar renovation, Deepwater K now offers scuba diving to their long list of water sport activities. It's an all-inclusive out-island experience with unspoiled diving, easy access to the States, and exceptional food and accommodations. Treat yourself like the star you are at Deepwater K. Go to DeepwaterK.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
So here's some advice I wish I would have got when I was your age. Live every week like a shark week.
Now the party don't start till I dive in.
Jump in with your fins. We promise you won't get the fins today. We will play in an underwater way. Here we go with the show. Time to let those bubbles blow in. Scuba Radio, oh, Scuba Radio, oh. Jump in with your fins. We promise you won't get the fins today. We will play in an underwater way. Here we go with the show. Time to let those bubbles blow with Scuba Radio, oh, Scuba Radio, oh.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it says you. Anyway, we apologize. W-A-I-A. We apologize in advance. Well, in this case, it was too late, but you get the idea. All right, so Captain Don passed away this past week, and you know, I had just brief brushes with greatness with him over the years. We had him on the show a couple times. Quite a colorful character, but here's a little tidbit for you, and I've told this story on the air before somewhat, but you know, interesting enough of how you get these weird connections to different people, especially in a small industry like the dive industry. And it is very small. My first dive trip ever, before I even started Scuba Radio, my first dive trip out of the country, believe it or not, was in Bonaire. at Captain Don's Habitat.
Wow.
And I went there because when we first started exploring, well, actually, I had just got I was in the process, I believe, of getting my dive master certification. And scuba radio was it wasn't on the air yet. I'm not even sure I had it in the back of my mind that I was going to do this or we were going to put this show out there. But the DEMA show, the big dive industry trade show that happens every year, was in Orlando that year. And the local dive center got me a pass, or maybe I got a pass to the radio station. I forget. But some way or another, I got access to the DEMA show in Orlando that year. And, you know, they give away trips and things when you walk through. You can put your business card in and win a trip here, win a trip there, as they're trying to promote these different destinations. And, of course, I did that. And
this is back when they had a lot lower standard for what business might be.
Well, exactly. Well, I was media at the time because I was working at a radio station. So I was media. I was in there legitimately, Bill. Don't
how
don't
times
play that
have changed.
Card. Yeah, true. I have no business there anymore. But no, so we're walking around, and sure enough, I enter in one of these giveaways, and they call me up a few days later, and I had won a 4-night, 5-day package to Captain Don's Habitat in Bonaire. So I went out there and did some diving.
So not only was it your first trip out of the country to go diving, it was your first trip you didn't pay for. You bastard.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. You know, it was his fault. You could blame him for everything, because after that, I realized, hey, there's something to this. I could get used to this type of lifestyle of traveling around the world and talking about it and that kind of thing. So I have that to thank Captain Don for, or as from your perspective, you know, if you don't like the show, you could blame him for setting me on this weird career path that I found myself on over the years. You know, the kicker to it is I've told this story many times, and to this day, one of my most memorable dives ever was in Bonaire, because it was there that I did my night dive and swam along with Charlie the Tarpon. And Charlie, as they told me before I took off on this night dive, they said, look, we have a resident tarpon here at Captain Don's Habitat that's right off the dock. You literally just walk right off into the water and do your dive.
Wow.
And swim along the reef there. It's beautiful. And but Charlie may show up because he has a tendency to follow the divers on their night dives and uses the beam of light to hunt, which is fairly typical around the world and stuff. But don't let Charlie spook you, because, you know, Charlie is a massive tarpon. He is not your average tarpon. This thing was like 5 feet long. He was massive. And sure enough, about 5 minutes into the dive, I look to my left and I'm like, whoa, this giant tarpon is swimming alongside of me. And, you know, at first you're kind of awestruck by the size of it. And but you realize, like, okay, he's just swimming up next to me like a dog that's curious. It was very interesting. And I was like, hey, Charlie, what up? You know, and I'm kind of like, all right, this is cool. I got my own little pet tarpon swimming with me on my night dive. And then, you know, you let your guard down, or you get more comfortable in the situation. And after about 10 minutes, lo and behold, a little tropical fish swims out in the beam of light about 15 feet in front of me. Charlie darts out into the light, and all of a sudden I hear, krum!
Wow.
And I just see a fish head float to the bottom of the ocean. And I'm like, holy crap.
So he's like an Americanized tarpon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I don't know. Americanized. Why?
Morbidly obese.
Yeah. But I will say, you know, as comfortable as I got with Charlie on that night dive, after that, I didn't quite look at him the same way. Because I saw the power of that tarpon as it literally chomped this fish.
Like a Big Mac.
3/4 of it gone instantly. And literally, to this day, I still have this mental picture in my head of this fish head just floating to the bottom of the ocean. And it was just like it happened in such a instant. You know, it's like Charlie was an amazing sea creature. So that was in Bonaire. And to this day, that is one of my most memorable dives. And I've heard other stories of people. As far as I know, Charlie or his descendants are still there because I've heard of other stories like this that happened in Bonaire. And right there at Captain Don's Habitat, It does have probably, or it's known for some of the best shore diving in the world, because literally they have steps right off of their dock, cement block steps that you just jump right in and you can do a night dive, day dive, whatever. You don't have to get in a boat at all. And you go dive there for an entire week and not get into a boat if you don't want to.
Isn't that kind of interesting that you bring that up? And I don't want to get you off topic here.
Yeah.
I did notice that there were pictures posted this past week about a place where I've dove.
What?
And I saw the pictures and I thought, I have walked down that pier and dove off the end of that.
That is kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah, when you see it and it's somebody else, you know, completely different, and they're just talking about where they are and they're on vacation in the Caymans or something like that. And that happened this week. And it was actually Roz's pictures.
Wait, Dive Tech, when they were doing at Interspace.
Cobalt Cove, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they were doing
there. And we've been there, mm-hmm. And actually we went there, oh my God, it was 10 years ago.
Right.
It was 10 and a half years ago because it was the weekend I turned 40.
Oof. Well, you were a kid. You were a baby then.
I didn't know better.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, I didn't know better
well,
then.
They didn't know better then.
Yeah, nobody
knew
better.
Us there, and which explains why they haven't had us back.
That does explain it.
I did talk to Roz last week on the show, Bill, and
right.
I explained to her that, you know, we're going to have, you know, while you're there doing Interspace, you know, talk to Jay and Nancy and see if they'll have us back. And so, I haven't heard back from her since. I
haven't got any messages.
Nothing.
I've liked her picture. She didn't mention anything about that.
Yeah, I didn't
saying,
see anything. Not even on Facebook.
Nothing.
Not even a shout out.
Wow.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We're going to check in with the dive god, Neil Watson, here in just a bit and talk about some things going on in Bimini in the Bahamas. The reefs are under attack.
What?
Yeah, it's quite a story, but hopefully things will work out for the best. We're going to talk about that and then a few other little tidbits that he is working on and, you know, definitely newsworthy for sure. I got to ask him about this new product that popped up on my radar as well last week or so. Out of France, there's been a company. Now, this isn't available supposedly in the U.S. yet, but these guys have developed a full-face snorkel, which allows you to snorkel and still breathe through your nose, unlike scuba divers would have to breathe through their snorkel.
Oh, is this the thing where it's on the top of your head?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And I saw this and I was like, Bill and myself have personal experience with people who do not like water on their face. And
actually, maybe the same persons.
Could be. But actually, as a dive instructor myself, I have encountered this with many students that don't like, you know, that feeling to have to breathe off of a snorkel the first time. Now, once you learn how to do it, even if you're not used to it, it's very easy to catch on. And as any scuba diver can relate to, it's not hard to do. Me being a perfect example, Bill being another.
You know, the other thing about the current technology, the one-way valve that they've got in snorkels now so that water doesn't get in, makes it so much better. I mean, I feel like I'm 100 million years old when I say this, but when I started with snorkels, it was just an open tube at the top of my head, and you had to exhale hard to make sure there wasn't water in the tube. And I always felt, and I still feel this way, mm-hmm. when you're diving on a closed circuit system, you know where the air's coming from. And when you're diving on an open system like a snorkel, you don't really know where it is. You know where it's supposed to be, but it could be under the water, and you don't know. I kind of like this thing where it's on the top of your head. You know where it is now.
Well, good point. That may be, you know, anything to make it easier to get in the water, I'm up for it. Two fins up as far as I'm concerned, but we'll talk about that much, much more next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Look down there. A wreck. An old Spanish galleon, Scoob. And look at the size of that thing swimming out of it. Holy mackerel.
Watching late night TV, some documentary about a man who hunts for treasure in the sea. Kind of confidence man who had a master plan. He didn't sound that much different than me. But I wondered what really kept him going. Was it that motto that he always used to say? He just kept searching without ever knowing that things would turn out this way. I think today is the day Mel Fisher found the mother lode that way. Legacy is here to stay, filled with treasure beyond our dreams. With the right attitude, he found the longitude and latitude. He was just another diver dude. Now his bank account's busting at the seams. I think today is the day.
You know, this full face snorkel probably would have made Mel Fisher's life a lot easier, I'm guessing. If, you know, and I say that with the idea that hopefully this thing works. You know, there's a video circulating online, and that's how this thing is, like, going viral all over the world. People are seeing this video of this full-face snorkel. I don't know if this is the official name, but Easy Breath Snorkel or Full-Face Snorkel. If you Google that, it'll probably pop it up and find this thing. But basically, it's a snorkel that you put on your face, and as Bill pointed out, it actually, the snorkel part of it, sticks out literally out of the top of your head, you know, like a horn type of thing. But you can breathe through your nose or mouth or whatever you're comfortable with. And for people that have that uncomfortable feeling when they're learning how to dive or work with a snorkel, this seems to, at least in theory, if it works, eliminates that problem. And from my standpoint, I've seen people that do have that issue with snorkels and it makes them very uncomfortable. Hey, if this gets more people snorkeling, the better. I mean, snorkeling, you know, it was funny. I posted this up on the Scuba Radio Facebook page, right, Bubble Boy? And somebody instantly goes, and I posted up there to the thing and it said, like, hey, what do you think? Could this be the next big thing in diving? And someone instantly replies, says, Greg, it's not diving, it's snorkeling. So, you know, and I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Haters gonna hate.
Snorkeling is a form of diving. Like, free diving is a part of diving as far as I'm concerned as well. You know, if people enjoy the underwater world, whether they're on the top of the water or down below it, either way, it's all good. The more they see, the better, you know, ambassador for the oceans and things, hopefully they'll become. And they'll appreciate what's going on down there and want to protect it and make it better for us divers. So the more snorkelers we have, the better it is for scuba diving. Whether you're a diver or a member of the dive industry. That's my feeling about it, but I don't know. I could be wrong. What would the dive god say? Well, it just so happens we have him on the phone. We got a hotline to the dive god. Of course, I'm talking about Neil Watson, one of the hardest working men in the dive industry, and he is on Scuba Radio right now. Neil, how are you, my friend? How are you, buddy?
I am doing great, Gregory. How are you, my friend?
Good. Now, so
nice.
We've been talking about this full-face snorkel. Have you seen this yet, Neil? Has that popped up on your radar or in your book? Has anybody said, hey, Neil, check this out? What do you think?
I've seen pictures of it. It looks a little perverted to me.
Yeah, it does look a little strange, no doubt. I had a couple of those comments show up on our Facebook page as well. As like, look, I'd never be caught dead wearing that thing, you know, kind of thing. But hey, you know, if it works, if it's functional, the more people that use it and get into the water, the better. Are you with me on that, Neil, or what do you think? I mean, you know, it's not really a dive accessory. It's a snorkel accessory, right? You think?
You know, 60 years ago, they had the the dive masks with the two snorkels with the ping pong balls.
Right.
And it's kind of like they're trying to reinvent the wheel there. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, true. It could be a flash in the pan. But you know, it is getting quite a bit of stir on, you know, the video has definitely gone viral from what I've seen. A lot of people are seeing this video of this thing. So they're creating some kind of demand or something. I don't know. Yeah.
And exactly what's the advantage? People can't breathe through their mouth. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Wait a second, Mr. Watson. I do not think you understand. We French, we need to be able to snorkel and smoke our cigarettes.
Hey, that's a good idea.
There's people that can walk and chew gum at the same time. Now you can snorkel and chew gum at the same time.
That's right. Hey, yeah, look.
Right?
That's right. Smoke a cigar.
Yeah.
Neil, there could be something there.
You're onto something.
I don't know. But
when you free dive, is there a thing to well to clear your ears?
No, this is just for snorkeling. It's not for diving from what I can tell. It's just a new snorkel thing.
Snorkelers don't just stay on the surface. There's a thing called free diving. It's revolutionary, but it's taken off.
Yeah. Well, actually,
go underwater.
Yeah, he makes a really good point because you could not do that. You couldn't go down, 10 feet, 15 feet, just to even get down under the water because you really couldn't close off your nose.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
try and do that to try and get some.
I mean, the idea is to stay at the surface, I assume, yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you could go down a couple feet and be able to clear it. Maybe there is a way to do it. Well, I don't know.
But how?
I guess it depends on how much airspace is in this full face thing. Could you actually force the air through your nose?
I do not
your
think
nose
you
or
understand,
mouth.
Mr. Greg, that I've met.
I do not.
We French, we can clear our noses. And we use our cigarettes. We stuff cigarettes into our noses when we dive. We smoke all the time. Here, have a croissant.
Oh, my God, Bill.
Ah, dude.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? It's just something that popped up on my radar. We'll see. It could be a bunch, much to do about nothing. You've seen stuff come and go over the years, I know, Neil. I've seen my fair share, but I don't know. This one did kind of pop up on my radar. It's definitely creating a little bit more stir than your average new piece of gear that pops up online, at least the video is getting a lot of views. So who knows?
I think this falls right in line with the dive bubbles that came out about 20 years ago, and you carried these little bubbles in a pouch and balls, and when you got ready to come up, you'd flip one of these things out and you'd bobble it to the surface. And it was supposed to bring you up at the rate of ascent.
Yeah.
I guess you'd be with 20 divers and they'd all pop these balls at the same time. You wouldn't know what one is yours, or you'd be in a current and they'd be going sideways.
Mr. Dive God, what we do, we French, just blow smoke into the water and we follow the smoke to the surface. And if it's white when we get to the top, there is a new pope.
Wow.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, just don't beat your bubbles. Wow, how are those bubbles coming out of his arse? Weird. Anyway, who knows, Neil? Well, time will tell. But I know you've got a lot of stuff on your radar. We're going to get into a couple little things. We got to talk a little bit, at least, to just bring people up to speed on what's going on in Bimini, because that's been getting a lot of play in the media and online as well. What can you tell us with this dredging project and this casino thing going on there, Neil? What do you know?
Well, there's this big project, Resorts World, Bimini, which is a development that's going in the North End. And, I mean, the development is one issue, but they want to put a 1,000-foot pier and also dredge 2,000 feet of bottom to use as fill to build a 4.5-acre island, and all of this is exposed to the sea. And of course, this dredging is going to be done where some of our prime dive sites are at.
Ooh.
And dredging and reefs just don't mix.
Yeah.
The problem is, it's already been a bit of a disaster. Supposedly, they're supposed to contain this silt with these screens but they've already had the second day of dredging. The silt screen breached. We had silt all over the reefs and stuff. And of course, this silt is like throwing a tarpaulin over your manicured lawn. You know, the sun needs the reef needs the sun to survive, and without it, it'll die. And the silt just settles on the reef, and you know, there's been some damage, but it's not irreversible. If they stop the dredging, of course, it would be just like a bad storm. This would clear off, you know, in a few weeks or so. But we had an injunction that stopped it, and the injunction was just lifted, so they're going to start dredging again. I question whether these silt screens are going to hold.
All right, well, we'll talk more about it after the break. Stay close. Scuba
Radio. Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
We gotta
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We're talking to the dive god, Neil Watson. By the way, during the commercial break, where I told you all the magic really happens, we just came up with a marketing idea for that Easy Breathe full-face snorkel, Neil. The snorkel comes up right out of your out of the forehead there in the middle, and Bubble Boy was saying,
right.
You know, it kind of looks like a penis, and if you made it look that way even more, maybe that could be a marketing angle they could work with.
The dickhead, okay. Dickhead, you know, snorkelers.
Multi-function device, for sure.
For sure, Neil, we would make yours a half an inch longer.
There she white waters.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I say magic during the commercial breaks, that's a very subjective
tragic
way to look at it. But anyway, enough nonsense. Let's get back to Bimini. All right, so this dredging project that's going on in Bimini, it's basically they're trying to create a dock for the day ferry that goes over there to the casino that they've built on the north end of Bimini, correct? Is that what's going on?
Yeah. Well, they call this thing a ferry, but it's a 1,500 passenger cruise ship.
Right.
Not a ferry boat. They had a ferry boat that was going in there. There was no problem because it could go right into North Bimini up to the government dock without creating any problems. But they've got this 1,500 passenger cruise ship,
mm-hmm.
and they can't get the boat into the island, so they have to tend to the people in at this point, which creates a problem when there's any kind of weather. So they're building a 1,000-foot pier, and then dredging 2,000 feet of seabed to deepen the water and put a turning basin, but also to use the dredged seabed to build an island at the dock site. And in addition to the damage that the dredging is causing, after that dredge is long gone, every time that cruise ship comes in and out, it's going to stir up all this silt from this channel it dredged.
Right.
And depending on which way the current is going, it's going to take this silt and cover the reef. And, you know, some point in time, it's going to kill the reef, and that's the fish habitat. And, I mean, you know, this is, it's horrible that the environment is collateral damage, you know, to a foreign investor coming in and putting in development that probably won't survive anyhow. So when they're long gone, you know, the damage will be done to the island. So it's discouraging. I mean, the good news is, I mean, the Bimini chain is large, and our dive shop is on the south end of South Bimini, and most of our diving is done south.
Right.
So it won't impact most of the reefs that we dive on. But, I mean, that being said, you know, it's just heartbreaking that this is allowed. I mean, it's unnecessary. It shouldn't be allowed, and hopefully there will be enough pressure put on the powers to be that they'll stop this thing. But
well, I would say, you know, from all the media exposure I've seen online, especially over the last week, or especially when this has been going on, I mean, there's been court cases trying to, you know, put injunctions in place to get the dredging to stop. Now, obviously, at this point, that has not succeeded. You know, that could still happen maybe again next week, and they'll put a stop to some of this or delays. But all the attention that it's been getting has to be a good thing from the standpoint that even if it's going to be if it's going to go through, which at this point it looks like it is, there's a lot of people watching it very closely. And if things start to go awry as far as the silt getting, you know, spread out even farther than what they claim it will be, I would imagine that's going to be a big red flag and can contribute to some situations where they'll have to make some adjustments to make sure they mitigate whatever damage is taking place as this project goes through. You think, Neil, or what?
Well, I mean, they're doing a token gesture by relocating some of the coral reef that's in the area of the dredging. But it's probably going to wind up dying, you know, because it's still in the general area of where this silt plume is going to come. So, you know, it remains to be seen. You know, hopefully, at least the silt curtains will hold and there won't be any more damage. And maybe there's even a way to stop the cruise ship, because that's going to be the future damage after the dredging is gone. So, I mean, I think they're going back Monday to court and try to get another injunction. I mean, it went all the way to the Privy Courts in England,
yeah.
And they stopped it. And then they just reversed that a couple of days ago and started dredging supposedly again yesterday. I mean, I'm not on the island, I'm not sure, but I'm sure they're dredging again.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's unfortunately, you know, Bimini is an island 700 feet wide with a population of 1,500 to 1,600 people, and you have a cruise ship coming in doubling the population of the island every day. In addition to the damage to the reefs, I mean, where is the sewage going? Where is the garbage going? Where is the water, fresh water coming to support, you know, what they're projecting is 500,000 people a year coming to Bimini? I mean, there's islands with infrastructure that can support this, but not Bimini. So So why even do it there?
It just
makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, you make them go on the boat. Say, sorry, you can't relieve yourself on the island while you're here. That's why we got such a big boat to handle all those large compartments of sewage. I don't know. It doesn't make much sense. I mean, it hadn't been a huge influx of people going to the casino there from the last year or so. But I don't know. Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on it. Just know Bimini is still in operation. And as Neil said, all the dive sites, thank God, are on the other end of the island that they go to. So there's plenty of places to go over there and dive and still enjoy that natural paradise they have there. But we got to keep an eye on it and protect what we love. That's what we do as divers, snorkelers, whatever it be. All right, that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, it's always better
down where it's wetter.
Safe diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.